now. Things were really going bad, and I expected any morning to come out and find the thing just in the carport, just a big, huge pile of nuts and bolts. I thought it would just collapse during the night and die, but it didn't. It kept rattling along, and we would plug in a new water pump here and a new fuel pump here and have the carburetor repaired and put new tires on it, and everything about it was just kind of taped together and wired up with fence wire and this kind of thing. But it became very obvious to us that we were going to have to replace the car. And so we got the family together and determined that we should not go into debt for the car. This was about 3 years ago, I guess, when this happened, wasn't it? And we had felt that we had had a word from God that we were not to go into debt. We were not to buy anything on credit. That everything we bought, we were to buy with cash, and that we would just trust God to keep the car alive long enough that we could save up enough cash to buy a new car. And that happened. We trusted God. We claimed it before God. We asked Him to provide the cash, and some money came in from various sources that we didn't expect it to come in from. And in several months' time, that which we had already saved and that which we had put it aside, and we had enough money to pay cash for the car, along with the trade-in on this old green Chevrolet station wagon we had. So we had saved up $4,000, wasn't it? Yeah. Which was the balance for the new car. And we were going to be able to do something that we'd never done in all of our lives, and that was to go down to the car place and plunk $4,000 on the table and say, we're going to take our old junker, we're going to buy a new car. And we had gone down and had even picked out the car down at Rathman's Chevrolet place, the station wagon we wanted. We were going to get the big station wagon that was the cheapie. It was the one without any chrome on it or anything else, you know. It was just the bottom of the line, which was quite sufficient for us. And we were all set to go and had picked out the car and had it all ready when, and this was just about this time of year, just about Christmas, I guess, 3 years ago, when we got word that there was some families in the body of Christ that had problems, had some severe financial problems. And they were families that we all knew, and they were out of work, and some of them were getting ready to lose their houses and this kind of thing. And this presented a dilemma. Here we were with $4,000 to buy a new car, and here were some of our friends who were out there who were getting ready to lose everything. Not just lose their car, but they were going to lose the whole bit. Well, what should we do? Well, we did what we have often done in our family. We called a family conference, got all the kids, all five of the kids in, sat down at the dinner table one night, and I said, now here's the situation, kids. We've got $4,000, which we're going to spend on this car, and here's these families over here that we know of, seven or eight or nine, something like this, families, who are really in desperate straits. What should we do with the money? Should we buy a new car, or should we give the money away? And we took a vote around the table, which is a dangerous thing to do unless everybody's in one accord. And let all the kids vote. Sandy was 9 years old at that time. She was the youngest, and our oldest was 17. And we took a vote, and the vote was 7-0 to give the money away. All of it. That we would trust the Lord to either give us another $4,000 or to heal our old car where it would run for a number of years, or to give us the grace to walk. One of those three things. And we gave the money away with a great deal of joy. It was one of those happy, happy occasions when we did it. We gave it, and they never really even knew exactly where it came from. It was able to go out without us having our name attached to it in such a way that it was just given. Like I say, this is 3 years ago, so I can share it because the principle is valid today. And then we said, now we'll just wait on the Lord. We'll trust the Lord. And in almost 4 weeks, about 3.5 weeks' time, That money had been restored to us in ways which even today I don't understand. A man on the other side of the state that I had only met at that time about three times before sent me a check in the mail, $600. And said, we got up this morning, my wife and I, and we were praying, and the Lord said, send Jamie Buckingham $600. And a week later, I got another check from him for $500. And God spoke to us and said, that wasn't enough, I was to send you some more. And we got money from that. We got money from a couple of the books that I didn't even know had been translated into foreign languages. One of them into German and one of them into Dutch. I didn't even know they'd gone into the foreign. We got royalty checks from them. And anyway, it came in from all of these different sources. And before we knew it, we had our money all back. And we were rejoicing and praising the Lord and headed down to the Chevrolet place to get the car. And when we got down there, the salesman that we were dealing with said, oh, by the way, said, car that you wanted has been sold. But he said, we have a demonstrator back here in the back, which has been driven by our one of our chief salesmen. It's got 2,000 miles on it, and it's loaded. It's got everything. It's the top of the line car. Got the electrical windows and everything about it. You know, the seats that go up and down and backwards and forward, and the steering wheel that flops around. It's got everything on it. And since it's been driven 2,000 miles, we'll extend the guarantee so that it'll be just as good as a new car, and we'll let you have it for the same price that you would have bought that cheap bottom of the line station wagon with. And so we walked out of there with a car that would have cost us $6,000 for the $4,000 that the Lord had provided. And I learned a lesson that because we gave, not only did God bless the people that we gave to, and they were helped, but we were blessed because all that we had given was restored to us, plus the bonus of having something we never would have had before, plus the blessing of God. And then the most valuable thing was the lesson that we had learned to find out that this same principle can apply into the future. That the more we give away, the more He'll restore to us. And so that little lesson was worth far more than $4,000. It's been worth many, many more times than that. As God has taught us that this is one of those principles of kingdom economy, that you only get what you give away. You only keep what you give away. Now, that doesn't add up on the surface. But praise the Lord, He doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. And God is the one who blesses. Well, we're at 11 o'clock, and I want to stop, I want to take just a minute. I want to share something with you. The Lord began to share with me this morning. I began to check back through this concept of the blessing of God all the way through the Old Testament. And you know what I found out? What I did is I took my concordance, and I just began to look through the word blessing, 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 blessing. And it appears just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in the Old Testament. It's synonymous with the anointing of God, the blessing of God. And you know what I found out? I found out that in the Old Testament, the blessing of God often means the ability to reproduce. The ability to reproduce. And so if God blessed somebody, it meant they would have children. Lots of children. And don't get too excited about that. We found out what's causing them. But in the very beginning, God blessed the animals. And in the first chapter of Genesis, Genesis 1:22, it says, God blessed the animals, and they were fruitful, and they multiplied. And then in Genesis 1:28, it says, God blessed Adam and Eve, and they were fruitful, and they multiplied. God blessed the sons of Noah in the 9th chapter of Genesis, and they were fruitful, and they multiplied, and they replenished the earth. God blessed Abraham and said that your seed shall go out across all the earth. He blessed Isaac. He blessed Ishmael, the bastard son in that situation, because of the blessing of God which had been on Abraham. The blessing of God was also on Ishmael. He even blessed Jacob, who was a trickster. He blessed the lambs. When Jacob went into Isaac, by the way, you remember the story of how he covered his arms with the hair of the animals, and he went in to try to pretend like he was Esau because Isaac was blind, to get the blessing of Jacob. And when he got in there, old Jacob said, "I smell a field that has been blessed by the Lord." Even the fields were blessed by God that they might have abundant crops. All the way through the Old Testament, we find this concept of the blessing of God. God refused to let Balaam, who was a prophet, curse Israel, for he had blessed them. And in Numbers 22:12, it says, "Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." The cursing cannot come because God has put the blessing on them. And later in the next chapter of Numbers, where Balak comes to Balaam and tries to get him to curse the people, Balaam says, "I cannot do it. Behold, I have received a commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it." All the way through, we find once God has put his blessing on somebody, they're fruitful, and they multiply, and they reproduce. Now, this particular principle carries all the way through the Bible. He told Israel if they kept the commands that they should be blessed of all people, and there should not be a male or a female that was barren among them, or even their cattle would be barren. They would all be blessed by God. And then Jesus opens his public ministry by saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me," or "he hath blessed me, to preach the gospel." And then he pulls his disciples apart and gives them the secret to abundant living, which we find in the Beatitudes, which we call the blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. 9 blessings and 9 rewards. And then the whole New Testament closes out with another blessing of God when John says in the book of Revelation, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." The blessing of God. I wish that I could open your heads up and just screw the top of it off and pour this into it this morning. That as we begin this new year, it is possible for you to come under the blessing of God. I mean, you can be creative, you can reproduce, not only in your families, but in everything you do, you can have that blessing touch. To where you touch it, God will bless it. All you need to do is to have your heart right and to obey him. All you need to do is to walk through the door of Jesus. And as you walk through that door, the blessing of God is on you. Lord God, I'm so excited about what you've promised and what you've shown. And I want it so much for your people, Father. And I sense that everyone here wants it for himself also. Not for what it can do for us, but because of what we can do for others. For as we receive your blessing, then we can in turn bless others. And I don't understand that. I just know that it's available for every one of us. Open us to hear your word for our lives. For Jesus' sake, amen.